go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
He gone, just like that. A new zip code for Zay Jones. Not a big surprise. It's something we've been talking about an awful lot. Although I will say the timing of it confuses me, at least somewhat. Zay Jones cut today by the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you know they'll save about $4.2 million. They're going to have to eat $6.6 mil. Okay. We talked about it almost every night, right? If they were to wait 30 days and make this post June 1st, that dead cap would drop from $6.56 million to $3 million. And the $4.183 that you save would be bumped up to $7.735. Now, there's dead cap money that can be rolled over. And if you were to do it post-June 1st, there would have been some of that dead money that would have still been in the books or on the books, I guess I should say, for the 2025 season. So, you know, it really makes you wonder. The wheels are spinning. I said it way back, and I'm going to stay with it. This is, I think, the most important offseason in Jaguars franchise history because there are so many difficult decisions that this organization has already made and they will continue to make. And you can go back to the Darius Williams cut. You can go back to electing to keep Sheriff, electing to keep Cam Robinson, to redo a deal with Ezra Cleveland. Recently to pick up, which are obvious moves, I would say, the fifth year for Trevor Lawrence, obviously a fifth year for Travis Etienne. What to do in free agency? What to do in the draft? Zay Jones, kind of pedestrian, right? In year two with the knee injury, he missed eight games. He wasn't himself. Overall, you look at his numbers, 2 years in, pretty productive for, you know, a number three guy, if you will. You look at Zay Jones and what, 116 receptions, 1,144 yards, and seven touchdowns. But, you know, unavailability was certainly a factor for him. He had the knee. He missed half the season. He had the unfortunate scenario with a domestic case, which has been dropped. And, you know, I'm always careful about that because we don't know. We just don't know. But we see athletes and those in the public eye who are pointed at, blamed, and then there are many, many times where they are innocent. There are other times where absolutely – they are more than worthy of the charge. It's hard because I know that when you hear it, the trained ear says, oh man, why did he do that? He's guilty. It's almost like you need proof that he's innocent. You need video proof that he's innocent. So I hate this type of stuff. I hate it to begin with, you know, just for every right reason. But this organization really pounds the table. They pound the podium about character. Right? This is an organization that is really proud of their character, and they think it makes a difference to go on out and draft the right guys, to go on out and bring in the right free agents. I really enjoyed my limited conversations with Zay Jones over the years. I did. I have the utmost respect for him, and I hope he finds somewhere else to go, but it's confusing for a couple of reasons. Number one, Jacksonville can afford him. Jacksonville has tons of money. I mean, right now, you look at the updated figures that includes the release of Zay Jones. Also, a little bit earlier today, Joey Sly sent packing. You know, according to overthecap.com, Jacksonville sits here with $34,231,000. Yeah, you got to pay your rookies, right? And I still think there's an opportunity they'll bring in another veteran, perhaps at a couple of different positions. We'll get there momentarily. And I'm also going to bring in Adam Kaplan, who does an outstanding job covering the NFL. Adam basically makes it through Duval every August. Okay, he used to be with ESPN. He's now with NFL Sirius Radio. He's just a really knowledgeable guy, really good guy. I'll tell you, I spend more time texting him back and forth throughout the course of the calendar year than I do when it comes to putting him on the program. He is a friend of the show, but he's just so incredibly busy. But he's one of those guys that's so cool that when you send him a text, he gets back to you, which should be a message to some of you folks out there. If you're one of those who does not return text messages, let me tell you something right now. You suck, okay? I mean, just have a little bit of respect for the other person who's reaching out to you. Even if you want to tell him to go jump in a saltwater crocodile pond, do it. But ignoring is terrible. It really is. Whether it's the, all right, the personal life's one thing. I'm not going to get into your personal life. You got some guy who's a creeper or you got some guy who's stalking you or whatever. All right, that's one thing. Okay, but if it's a business-related situation, I don't care what your field is, have enough respect to return the text. It's so simple. It takes 3 seconds. All you got to say is yes, no, leave me alone. Oh, I've been waiting to hear from you. Let's get together. Yeah, let's break some bread. Let's bend the elbow. Again, let me be repetitive here. I'll say it one more time. For those of you who do not return texts, you suck. Period. There's really nothing else that I can say. Adam Kaplan always returns texts. And I got a whole bevy of things to take a look at him with the Jags. And, you know, the question now for Zay Jones and the Jaguars organization all of a sudden becomes, all right, yeah, I get it, kind of. But if someone goes down, who's your wide receiver? Okay, are you going to tell me it's Devin Duvernay, who I think caught 4 balls last year? He caught like 30 2 years ago in Baltimore. And if you look back at the career of Jamal Agnew, it was somewhat similar. They found ways to use Agnew here outside of his return skills when he was a part of this football team. Is it Tim Jones? Are we going to go through another year of... Am I going to waste airtime again on Tim Jones? I mean, really? Am I going to do that? Am I going to sit here all night and say, hey, Tim Jones has had a great camp. Keep your eyes on Elijah Cooks. You know, he's 6'4", he's 6'5". It's like, when will you learn your lesson, Ballou? You've been doing this for 32 years. You've been here since the franchise started. Why do you get sucked in every year and start putting guys into the Hall of Fame like you did Daniel Thomas 4 years ago with safety? I mean, I just wish I wouldn't. You know, I wish I could come back and say negative things, but I'm not. I'm always overdoing it positively speaking. Boy, did I waste time in those wide receivers last year. Parker Washington? Is he your backup? All right. Zay Jones got hurt last year. Christian Kirk got hurt last year. Kirk's in the slot. You go out, you draft Brian Thomas Jr., you have Gabe Davis. Those are your starting 3 wide receivers. But again, look at the difference between 2022 and 2023. What was the biggest difference? Injuries. It remains somewhat of an untold story. I talk about it too much, but it's so important, okay? You're never going to be, I listened to R.J. Saunders' interview with Robert Parrish over the weekend, and he was talking about those great decade of the 80s and the Celtics and the Lakers and everything, and Parrish said the reason why Boston had all that success, or one of the major reasons why they had all that success, was the lack of injuries. So look at the injuries that happened last night in the NBA, including Boston. Look at the injuries that are going on right now in the National Hockey League playoffs, including the best goal scorer right now in the National Hockey League, who may not be able to play tonight for Toronto, 69 regular season goals for Austin Matthews. He may not be able to give it a go. One of 4 teams facing the brink of elimination on this very, very busy Tuesday night. So, yeah, Parker Washington, Devin Duvernay. That's your 4 and 5. You got to add, okay? Is it going to be Jarvis Landry? Is it going to be someone else off the street? I don't know. I don't know the answer to those questions, but they have to have a plan. I just can't believe that they're they're looking at one another and saying, we're good with Gabe Davis, Christian Kirk, Brian Thomas, Devin Duvernay, and Parker Washington. And those are your five wide receivers. And again, I'm not gonna waste time on my breath on Seth Williams, Elijah Cooks, or Tim Jones. I'm just not gonna do it. I got burnt on all of that a year ago, and they look really, really, really good in camp. And what did it turn into once the regular season actually got underway? I'll tell you exactly what it turned into, okay, because I just pulled up the numbers right here. And again, there were significant injuries at wide receiver. Last year, Tim Jones, 11 receptions on 18 targets, 83 yards, an average of 7.5 a reception. 7.5 for Tim Jones, okay? He is going to try to make this roster. You look at Elijah Cooks, guy who had an absolutely fantastic camp. I mean, every host of this radio station, or at least every host who goes out to the Miller Electric Center and actually pays attention and watches what goes on during camp. 6'4", 215 for Elijah Cooks a year ago out of San Jose State. What did he do? Three receptions for the year. That didn't work out. And that was basically it. As far as any other wide receivers, I thought perhaps it would have been someone else not named, you know, the ones you're aware of, Ridley, Kirk, Zay, Jamal Agnew, and, of course, Parker Washington, who last year as a freshman, his rookie season, actually did catch 16 balls for 132 yards. So whether it's Jarvis Landry or someone else, you got to believe that that is going to happen in the pretty immediate future. The other big thing by recouping this much more cash and doing it the way that they did 30 days before June 1st, it really feels more and more and more and more like it's going to happen with Trevor Lawrence. And there's more and more talk that it's going to be sooner than later. And I guess in some circles, I understand what the organization is trying to do. They're trying to show everyone, certainly here as well around the National Football League, that Trevor Lawrence is a quarterback for this football team for years and years and years to come. I would not do it. I would play him in year four at $11.7 million. I don't think you need to rush to sign this guy, but it feels like it's going to happen before camp opens in very late July. I just think that that is going to be the case. And even when Trent Baalke said it, you know, I mean, we were so enamored with the Josh Allen thing 18 days after the end of the year that the Lawrence thing kind of became, you know, kind of became at that point kind of like an add-on, even though he was asked about, you know, he's always going to be asked about the quarterback first. And ever since Baalke let it be known that he's had constant communication with Lawrence and his agency, I thought it was some lip service. His way of saying, oh, yeah, we love Trevor. He's going to be here for a long time, but we're far, far away. It feels like that's not the case, that it is genuine, that they're going to get a deal done with this guy. Why not take advantage? Why not take advantage of the rookie salary structure? Man, you got $34 million that's just sitting there. You're going to need $8 million, $9 million for the rookies. You still could restructure Cam. You could still restructure Christian Kirk. They're your two highest paid players. Cam's making $22 million. Kirk's making $24 million. Kirk's making $24 million as a slot wide receiver. Cam's making $22 million, and he's a guy that's all of a sudden been up and down and up and down. I'm talking about through you, the fans' perspective of all of this. I don't know if there's been a guy on this roster where you, the Jaguar fan, has changed his opinion or her opinion as much as you have on Cam Robinson. Right now, Cam's like a feel-good. All of a sudden, it's like, well, Cam's got nasty. You know, Cam will do this. Cam will give you the... He's average, okay? He's average. And he can't stay healthy. And he's costing you $19 million more than Walker Little. You tell me where the difference is between those two guys. Seriously. I just haven't seen it with Cam Robinson. But you can restructure him. So you get all this money that you could have used and could still use, I guess, to go out and add a couple of football players. Pass rush end remains the major neglect of the Jacksonville Jaguars. What are they going to do? Okay. You going to Trevis Gibson me on a Tuesday? Hey, I'm all for it. That's what I need here on the program tonight. Some expert analysis from one of you out there who knows everything good about Trevis Gibson. All right. Maybe you're going to Miles Cole me on a Tuesday. I look forward to that. Seventh round draft pick out of Texas Tech. That should be a spirited conversation. Or are you going to tell me about the 45 snaps that Yasir Abdullah took last year as an undersized pass rush defensive end? Neglect, okay? This is the position. You can't do everything. I get it. You can't do it all. I get it. They've left this one alone. They have. This is like a, an old Dodge Dart. I think it was actually, was it a Plymouth Dart or was it a Plymouth Duster? It's like one of those old machines that you've just, you haven't gotten it with the oil change over at John's Auto. You just let it run itself to the entire course until it just dies on you. That's what they've done. Okay? I mean, you've got maybe the best tandem in the NFL. And you got the deal done with Allen. And you're bringing in a new defensive system, which we're all very excited about. But who in the heck are going to be the backups right now at pass rush end? I mean, you trying to tell me you're going to dress Walker and Allen and Gibson and Cole or Abdullah? And that's your pass rush? So that's wide open. You got to get a veteran. You know, go get Bud Dupree. Go get Calais Campbell. Bring back Unique. Yeah. Go get Jerry Hughes. Go get Shaq. Go get someone. You got $34 million for crying out. What are you going to do? Just let it sit there? I mean, you didn't address it last year. You're not addressing it this year. You have the funds to address it. Why make the same mistake in consecutive years? Is there one of you out there that's going to tell me I'm wrong and that they should not? No, they're fine, Baloo. Tyler Lacy's going to explode off the edge this year. I can feel it right now. Don't get Jeremiah Ledbetter going, okay? Don't get a little giddy up in his get along because he'll pound through the A-gap, and then if they stunt Jeremiah Ledbetter, look out. Who else is going to rush the passer? I'm not even going to bring up the you-know-what. If something happens to someone, what? I'm not going to be responsible for that. What are you going to do then? Adam Gotsis going to get you a bunch of sacks? It's there. You got money. You got funds. Money talks. Go out and get a guy. Got to happen. Absolutely has to happen. All right, Adam Kaplan coming up. NFL Sirius Radio. We'll get things cranked up with him as we start right here on this Tuesday edition. Want to tell you about Shmunez Vision. All right. What else could I say? I'm shocked that some of you out there still have not taken advantage of this phenomenal opportunity that, once again, you kind of let it go with the eyes, right? Some of you may be saying, yeah, nowadays, if I don't see everything, it's actually okay because it's so freaking scary out there. And into some aspects, I would agree with that. But hey, it's going to start getting dark here in a little bit, right? You struggle driving at night. Notice your eyes are fatigued. They're worn down compared to when you got up earlier this morning. That's normal, all right? There are significant changes that your eyes go through on a daily to weekly to monthly to yearly basis. If you don't take care of them, then that's on you. That's why I recommend Shmunez Vision. They're your one stop for everything that is your eyes. That includes high-quality medical and surgical eye care, including surgery performed by Dr. Neil Shmunez on my right eye 8.5 years ago. Laser eye surgery. Never again having to worry about blurry vision, night vision, okay, nearsightedness, farsightedness, any of that. It just goes away. 20/20 for the rest of your life with laser eye surgery. So check them out today. They're absolutely fantastic. Located out at the beach, just go to Schmunez Vision Online. That is Schmunez Vision. Care you can see. Let's crank it up with Adam Kaplan. Again, formerly with ESPN, he is now with NFL Sirius Radio. Does an outstanding job covering the National Football League. Let's grab his opinion on what he thought the Jaguars did last week during the NFL draft.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
So, goodbye to Zay Jones. Tough business, isn't it? They get paid well, but it's tough. Tough for your family. Tough for everyone. You know, we put them on such a pedestal as superstars, right? And this applies to coaches. This applies to everyone else. They're paid well, but you go from town to town to town to town. And I hope Zay Jones, at the age of 20, I hope he gets another opportunity. Probably get him on the real cheap. You know, probably get him for the league minimum, maybe a little bit past it. But when you're coming off 8 games of an injury and, again, the domestic situation, thankfully, was dropped, it's just hard, you know, with these wide receivers. The NFL produces, or college football produces, so many wide receivers right now. And it's a young man's game. So we'll see. Well, it's interesting to see what the Jaguars are going to do, right? And we all are, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what Jarvis Landry's going to do here in, what, 13 days, right? Final day of April. I want to say that minicamp is May 12th. May 13th, which is a Sunday and a Monday. What a week that'll be. I think the schedule gets released right around then. 2 days of mini camp, and then later in the week, our second major of the season. That'll be the PGA Championship. So all of that coming up in the very near future. All right, Adam Kaplan, 1 minute away. He will join us here, and we'll talk to Adam about everything that's happened with the Jaguars. So what it's worth now with the addition today of Zay Jones and his $6,569,000 worth of dead money. The Jaguars now $24,500,000 in dead cap money. Okay, all that means is that's applied to the salary cap for 2024. It has nothing to do with anything else. Okay, and the big ones are Big Foley, $9.26 million. Rayshon, $7.136 million. Zay Jones, $6.569 million. And then everything else is well under $1 million. Darius Williams, $500,000. Everyone else in the 100,000s and some change. So Jacksonville now up to $24,504,000 as far as dead cap money so far during the 2024 offseason.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line.
All right, let's talk some Jaguars. Adam Kaplan, always a whole heck of a lot of fun. Of course, he's an NFL insider and columnist from Pro Football Network. You also hear him on SiriusXM NFL Radio. How you doing, Adam?
Rick, always glad to be with you. And talking draft and some free agency and so forth. But dead cap, by the way, is probably one of the most overrated things. I'm not saying it's not important, but it's really not a big deal anymore. With the cap rises, I think it's... And I'm someone who studies the cap and does a lot of contract reporting. More often than not, teams are not as concerned as the fans are about this stuff.
If they waited 30 days, they could have brought back another nearly $4 million with the release today of Zay Jones. Why make the move now and not in 30 days?
Yeah, I don't have his contract in front of me, so no. I can't tell you. But with the post-June 1, first of all, you have to carry the salary cap at until June 2nd. It's called a post-June 1 designation. But I don't have his contract, so I can't confirm that mm-hmm. the number that you're saying, because I try not to unless I have it in front of me. But the bottom line with Zay Jones is, with Brian Thomas added, with Gabe Davis added, with Kirk now healthy, obviously, coming back from his injury, the first three spots are taken. You can't justify paying him what he was making as a fourth receiver. You just couldn't. And you know, Zay Jones, by the way, what they liked about him, talking to the Jaguars since they got him, they love his insider-outside versatility. but you couldn't justify it. So, you know, they added a bunch of undrafted guys. Devin Duvernay was outstanding, a punt returner who could back up the slot position. And I know they like Seth Williams. I want to take a broader look at, who's a big kid from Auburn from a couple years ago. But the bottom line is, Zay Jones, he just could not stay healthy last season, and he'll move on.
Jarvis Landry's going to be here in 12 days. He's going to work out. He's missed a year. He's 31, hasn't played since 2022.
Yeah.
Is it laughable? I mean, is this a 10% shot that he makes it?
I mean, what happens is you work the guy out. He comes to their offseason camp. You're not counting on him other than be a backup. This is a team that expects to push for the division lead, the AFC South. Now, who knew that Houston would be the version of Jacksonville from 2 years ago? I mean, no one saw this coming, and now the division is Houston's for the taking. Houston's got probably a little bit better roster in certain respects, but it juices up the division. And by the way, that division, Tennessee spent like crazy in free agency. I'm not saying they're going to be good. They'll be under 500. But in the Colts, you know, talking to them, they felt pretty good about their offseason. That division is going to be a little bit more competitive than probably most people think.
Yeah, and a couple of years ago, it was probably the weakest division of all eight in the NFL, and it has certainly improved with all four now with young quarterbacks. Before we get to the draft, let's spend a second on that because, you know, a couple of weeks ago, when we met with Trent Baalke and Doug Peterson the Thursday before the NFL draft, 1 week before the NFL draft, man, walked out of there convinced that, all right, they are going to get an extension done with Trevor Lawrence before training camp begins in late July. I've been one of those, Adam, that's like, okay, he's been underwhelming, you know, 70 turnovers. Why not allow him to play this year at $11.7 million, then deal with it after the season? It feels more and more like I'm wrong, and they're going to actually get this deal done. What are you hearing?
Yeah, so I'm told they've actually been talking. They started much earlier this offseason. They've had informal talks and more recently. They'll take the comparable contract for young quarterbacks and they'll figure it out from there. They've got a really good negotiating team. Tim Walsh has been there for a long time and others. So these things aren't really hard to figure out. They've got a good relationship with the agent, who, by the way, is Brock Purdy, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing. So, look, I don't worry about this. These things get done. He's not going anywhere. Here's the thing. Yeah, the turnovers are what they are. The fumbling problem is just, I don't understand. I remember he had five fumbles here against Philly in the rain. The turnovers have to stop. But he was also hurt. He had two or three different injuries last season. That also hurt him. So he's got to stay healthy, obviously. And that was his shoulder and the ankle. And I know, look, I reported this for Pro Football Network. They were heartbroken when they lost Calvin Ridley. They really thought that they could continue that development with him, you know, after he took the season off. They felt great about it, and it didn't happen, so they drafted Brian Thomas.
Yeah. Adam Kaplan, our guest, NFL insider, columnist, Pro Football Network, also with SiriusXM NFL Radio. What are your thoughts on Brian Thomas and the Jaguars draft as a whole?
So a couple things. Studying Trent Baalke's drafts, as I have for many years, and talking to people who've worked with him, Trent likes size at every position. Not everyone looks at it that way. Obviously, you'd rather not have a guy 5'8", but Brian Thomas is what we call a developmental receiver. He's had one big year. He could run. He's got size. Pretty good kid, from what I understand. They have a great receivers coach in Chad Hall, one of the best in the NFL. So you've got size now with Gabe Davis and Brian Thomas. The thing is, look, they're one of the heavy 11 personnel teams. They're three receivers, one back, one tight end. Kid's going to have to play early on. They don't have anyone else. If they didn't cut Zay Jones, maybe if he's not ready, you could bring him along slowly, but they don't have anyone else. He's got to play. And Doug's got to be able to run his scheme. He's run the same scheme. He ran the same exact scheme with Philly, 11 personnel. That's what they're going to do. And that's what you're going to get. But he's by year three, folks, year one may or may not be good. We'll have to see. Be patient. But being that they have a phenomenal receivers coach, Doug's got a great scheme, I expect Thomas to wind up being a success.
Would you make a Mason Smith in the second round?
Surprised. To say that I was surprised that he went that high would be an understatement. I know teams had a 3 on him. I had a team that had a 4 on him. What matters is if they got it right. I never really worry about that stuff. I just look about how the league felt about him. The thing that the Jaguars did, and they did in this draft with Jordan Jefferson, who's a guy that a lot of people around the league like as a third-day pick, they've got tremendous depth. Like Armstead's an older player. I know he's got a decent contract. Roy Robertson Harris has been a really good story development. Hamilton's there. Yeah, these two kids are going to have a great rotation where they thought they were really light there last season, and they were. You got the two edge rushers in Walker and Allen. I know some people would have liked them to go a different direction with the first-round pick, but they've kind of beefed up their front. We know how bad they were defensively last season. That was part of the big collapse. Look, the offense is not absolved here, but their defense completely collapsed, and that's why there were coaching changes on that side of the football.
Last question for you. I don't know much at all about Travis Gibson. All right. I mean, I know he was with Coach Shuey a few years ago in Chicago, correct?
Yeah, he's an edge rusher. He could play with his hand down. He could stand up. He had one really good year. It was actually under Sean Desai, the former Eagles defense coordinator, when Sean was 1 year with the defense coordinator with the Bears. He's a fourth edge. That's really what, if you really want to know what he is. Because the one thing now the Jaguars don't have, so they don't have very good depth at the edge position. It's Walker, it's Allen, obviously, and after that, Gibson's going to have a great chance to make the team. Quite frankly, I mean, I don't know if the Miles Cole kid is going to be ready. He was a seventh rounder. It's actually, if you really looked at it, Rick, going forward, that's a position, as they get closer to training camp, they're probably going to have to add somebody else. They're kind of light there.
Well, how about Calais Campbell? He worked with, Ryan Nielsen a year ago. What about Bud Dupree? What about a player like that?
But Campbell's not an edge rusher. He's a power player. And now Bud Dupree is a guy who's had a lot of injuries in his career, former first-round pick of the Steelers, who's bounced around a little bit. He's in the twilight of his career. He'd be a really nice signing to play as what we call DPR, designated pass rusher, for 20-25 plays. That's all he really could do at this point. He's just been hurt too much. He's not super old, but old enough where you go, I don't know what he's got left. I would say to training camp, that's a position to me that they're going to have to address. And cornerback is another one.
Mm-hmm.
You saw what happened last season when Campbell got hurt; they were in shambles. That's another position they have to address. They cannot be done addressing this. They're not playing games now, folks. Just to help people out, the season doesn't start till September. They don't have to do anything now, but by training camp, and certainly by the season, they're going to have to add some help in the secondary as well.
That's all they got here, Adam. They don't have a Phillies bullpen to get mad at like you folks out there.
No, by the way, the Phillies are. By the way, the Phillies pitching staff probably top three in baseball. That's why they're 19-11. It's their hitting that's very inconsistent.
Even more consistent than the bullpen.
Well, the bullpen's actually was really good up to lately.
Yeah.
This kid
failed them yesterday, no doubt.
Yeah. Sir Anthony Dominguez should be taken out. He's a guy that Tommy John a couple years ago was a flamethrower about 100 miles an hour. But Jeff Hoffman is the guy who came out of nowhere last season, who was a journeyman. He's one of the best setup men in baseball. They actually have the Alvarez is really good. Their closer, the left-hander. It's Dominguez when they put him in. Sir Anthony, if you follow baseball, he's been a train wreck for the last two seasons.
Adam, always a pleasure, sir. Okay. Thank you. Catch up with you soon.
You got it, Rick. Thanks.
There he goes, Adam Kaplan. Load of information. NFL Insider columnist, Pro Football Network. Also, SiriusXM NFL Radio. He's based out of Philly. Actually, a really good guy out of Philly. And he said it. I didn't even have to ask him about it. He said it. They need to add an edge. Gibson a chance to be a four, right? I'm hoping that one of these young corners steps up. I'm hoping that maybe Cooper Hodges in a year steps up. I'm hoping that, Tyler Lacy in year two steps up. Ventrell Miller, who we didn't even see last year, much like Cooper Hodges, gets an opportunity and does some things. Yes, all of that could happen. But, really, what is your confidence level in Yasir Abdullah and Miles Cole? Right now, one of those would have to be one of your premier backup pass rush ends. And, he was right about Calais. You think of Calais as a guy you can put on the edge, but Calais was never a guy that you wanted on the edge in a pass rush situation because you had Allen and you had Unique. So you move Calais inside. You know that during Saxonville. Maybe it's Unique. and he can't stay anywhere too long, you know? Kind of like, Unique's kind of like your mother-in-law. Sooner or later, it's like, go! Just get out of here, right? And Unique's played for like every team in the NFL. And he's only been in the league for like 6 or 7 years. I mean, you folks would geek out if Unique came back. And I like Unique. We did a show with him 1 year during Midday Chalk. I mean, I really liked Unique Ngakoue. Hopefully he's matured. You know, I was a sideline reporter when he was a rookie in his first several years here. Didn't end well, and I know you made, you know, old Tony Khan and this. Hey, listen. Tony Khan's got wrestlers trying to paralyze him in the middle of the ring, for crying out loud. He can deal with that social media battle that happened between him and Unique. This is what Jacksonville has to do. They've got to find someone who can rush the passer. And I'm all ears. If you want to bring us a couple of names, you can. I threw some out. Unique, Calais. You heard his opinion on Calais, Adam Kaplan. You heard his opinion on Bud Dupree. And then you look at the guys who aren't getting any younger. You know, Shaq Lawson, Jerry Hughes, Emmanuel Ogba. You got to find someone. So there you go. Adam Kaplan, always appreciate it. Really good stuff when we get an opportunity to catch up with him. Again, NFL insider and columnist at Pro Football Network. And, of course, he's also with SiriusXM NFL Radio. All right, JJ. What's going on over there, young man?
Just enjoying life, Rick.
That's all that matters.
It really is.
Hey, it used to be, you know, I've never been in the ballpark or in the life of drunk texting chicks.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Because
that was a generation after you, I guess.
Yeah, you know, for the last 15 years, I've had the same GF. So I've never been able to experience that. So what does Baloo do? He drunk dials JJ, typically about baseball and scores like that. And you look over the weekend, some of these scores, the Red Sox 17-0 against the Cubs. All right. The Yankees put up 15 runs on the very same day. The Nationals beat the Marlins 12-9. It was ridiculously high scoring games. And then yesterday,
I was about to say last night,
it was one of the most bizarre days that I could remember in the NFL.
Oh, in the NFL.
I mean, excuse me, in Major League Baseball. 2-0 Baltimore over New York, right?
And the Mets game had a no-hitter going late into the game. The Braves and the Mariners,
2-1.
They had like no-hitters, dueling no-hitters all the way up until like the seventh inning. The Mariners didn't have a hit until the eighth inning, ended up winning on a walk-off home run. We do have breaking baseball news. It is very sad.
Uh-oh.
Mike Trout, man, torn meniscus in his knee.
Oh,
he needs surgery. He's crying in front of the media. They say it's not season-ending, but, I mean, this guy's career has just been in shambles the last 5 years. It's really sad. Best player in baseball seemingly is going to miss most of the season again.
Before we get back to that real quick yesterday, again, just to finish our point, Tampa Bay 1-0 in Milwaukee, Minnesota 3-2 in Chicago, and the Cubs, obviously the White Sox, the Cubs won 3-1 in New York. It was just an insane day as far as low scoring in Major League Baseball. This is a big blow for Mike Trout, who, you know, if he never picks up a baseball bat again, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But I'm a numbers geek, and I noticed that on Saturday, for like the first time in his career, let's say outside of his rookie season, his batting average fell under 300.
Yeah.
He's at 299. And you know, if he went like 2 for 3, he'd probably be back at 300. It's like minuscule, you know, percentage points away. But, you know, he'd been hitting the tar out of the baseball. I mean, the guy had 10 home runs and 14 RBIs.
Almost as good as, what's his name on the Red Sox?
The O'Neill kid.
Yeah, Tyler O'Neill, who has like 11 and 13 or something. Yeah, it's sad, man. He's been out there in Anaheim. Nobody's watched him basically his entire career. He's playing like a couple playoff games. He had the chance a couple years ago during free agency to get out of there, but he didn't. And I think he's probably regretting that.
Mm. This is huge. I mean, we've seen players have been moved lately who can't get healthy, like Chris Bryant comes to mind. I mean, remember Chris Bryant's first 2 years in Chicago?
Absolutely.
Look at his rookie year and his sophomore season and then what he's done since.
Trout just makes me think about Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
On pace to just shatter records. Everyone loved him. He didn't necessarily play on the greatest of teams, but like, was a household name. But then the second half of his career just sucked with injuries, and he was never the same.
So his last 5 years, 29 games this year, 82 a year ago, 119 in 2022. Then during COVID, what, 36 games in 2021 and 53 in 2020. I don't remember how COVID played into all that. But he was injured as well. So, sad story there, no doubt about it. Mike Trout gone for a significant period of time. All right, let's get some of your thoughts on what Adam Kaplan had to say. Both that wide receiver, particularly defensive end, and as well, he mentioned corner. Give us your thoughts. 641-1010 on the text line, which is brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. You can also get me on Twitter. That's Baloo1010XL.
Into the Night with Rick Baloo on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
We say goodbye to April on a beautiful Tuesday in Duval. We also say goodbye to Zay Jones. I'm struggling with it a little bit. I'm trying to make sense. Adam Kaplan brought some outstanding points, including you don't pay that amount of money to a fourth wide receiver, but you're eating, you know, you're eating $6.6 million and recouping $4.18 million. I don't know. I'm just not good with the math. Why not recoup, you know, why not pay $3 million post-June 1st and recoup $7,735,000? Again, you can roll it over, and with that post-June 1st, talked about at the start of the show, there would be dead cap money next year. I don't think that's it. I think they just want to move on. They may be giving him another opportunity to find a place to play, and that they just want him out of the building during OTAs. You know, this sends a message to the rookie who will be here for rookie minicamp, and we'll get a chance to see him on May 12th and May 13th, that, hey, day one, you're walking into camp. You're a starting wide receiver. You don't have to beat out Zay Jones. This isn't Urban Meyer telling us that there's equal competition between Trevor Lawrence and Gardner Minshew. We have breaking news that involves Urban Meyer and the great Mike Norvell.
Two legends joining each other on the links today. So this is a charity golf tournament, I guess, from the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. And the winners are the team of Mike Norvell and Urban Meyer. They defeated South Carolina's Shane Beamer and teammate Houston Nutt in a tournament record four-hole playoff. Here's a great quote from Norvell. It was a game of response. We saw some good. We saw some bad. We just continued to make the plays necessary. Coach Meyer came through in the clutch, and it was just a great round.
Coach Meyer came through. How come I'm convinced Coach Meyer cheats on the golf course?
I know he does.
Winter rules, foot wedges.
Marking the wrong card.
Marks down his ball, moves it up 3-4 inches, remarks it, puts it, you know, places the ball back down. Yeah.
All for charity. I mean,
three
birdies, three eagles on the round for the boys. First Florida State coach to take home the honor since Jimbo Fisher in 2010 when he was teamed with Terrell Buckley. So good for the guys. Raised about $65,000 for a great charity.
And where was that? Peach Bowl, so it was in Atlanta? Somewhere in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Maybe they played Deer Lake out there or whatever it may have been. Boy, that's interesting that Jimbo
Lake
won.
Oconee outside Atlanta.
Okay. Jimbo didn't like to do a lot of that golf stuff. He, he wasn't a big fan of it, but apparently he won it, you know, going back 10-plus years or so ago.
Kirby Smart, by the way, third place. So this will be the only time that any of these coaches get to beat him. Steve Spurrier finished in fifth, of course.
Now, you got beautiful Marsh Creek out in St. Augustine. And it was a few years ago. It's actually during COVID when I got a good buddy. He's an Auburn grad who lives out there. And Brian Freeman is his name. Actually played out there about 3 weeks ago. It's in impeccable shape. But during COVID, yeah, Spurrier was playing with Bob Stoops.
Dude, there's some names on here. Mm-hmm. Stoops isn't, but by the way, last place.
Stoops is coaching. I think he's one of the coaches
USFL
in that.
USFL or something?
Whatever it's called. Yeah.
Manny Diaz, dead last place, by the way. So we had Dan Lanny was there, Drinkowitz was there, Narduzzi, Rick Neuheisel, Dan Mullen, PJ Fleck, Spurrier, Dave Doran, Tupperville, Kirby, Hugh Freeze, Tom O'Brien, Shane Beamer, and Mike. And, of course, Herbs.
There you go.
I mean, imagine the stories being exchanged out there with these guys.
Especially at the 19th hole. Yeah, when they start tipping
them. Herbs starts getting in his cups a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've always wondered why wives get married, why wives get mad at husbands who play golf. You got 150 guys out there playing golf, and you have two girls in a beer cart. If you're lucky, you may have one. You know Urban's hitting on that cart.
Oh, yeah. Up. He already has her name before the round. He's got his notes that he's going to.
Do you know who I am?
These are usually the lines that work for me type things. Do you know who I am? You know how many national titles I have, man?
64-31. What about Devin Lloyd as the third and bring Muma in on pass rush downs? You know, that's been discussed in the past. Here's been the problem with Devin Lloyd. He struggled to be in position in his 2 years. There's been times where you're like, what's he doing? What's Devin Lloyd doing? And it's a concern because he came here as a 24-year-old, much like Luke Fortner. We know what the problem is with Luke Fortner. He's just not strong enough, okay? With Devin Lloyd, it's almost as if either he's not trusting his football instincts or there's so much going on in his head as far as what his responsibility is supposed to be that has been an issue. You know, there's a little part of me that's kind of like, well, you know what? Play Muma, play Ventrell Miller. You know, they'll be fine next to a Loacan, even though reportedly you're going to a 4-3. Let's be honest, it's going to be a 4-2-5. You're going to take a linebacker out once you go to nickel. It would be kind of intriguing to see what Lloyd could do if you just said sick him. But I don't think they're going to do that because he's a valuable piece of this defense, and maybe the light goes on for him. The numbers support that he is average, maybe a hair above average, but sometimes the eye test does not for Devin Lloyd. I'm not going to give up on him. We saw marked improvement with Trayvon Walker, especially during the second part of last year. Out of all that went bad, losing 5 of 6, there were a few positives on the Jaguars football team. One of them was Trayvon Walker. I would love for that to happen now with Devin Lloyd. It's a very good question. It is. And, you know, it seems so simple, right? Why not in a special package put him up there and allow him to do it? But we just, you know, it's like it's almost unwritten in this league that, no, that's not what we do around here. You know, he hasn't worked with Bill Shuey. He hasn't had his hand on the ground. He's not a true, outside guy. He's someone that works with the linebackers. And it is. It's a good question. But honestly, I wouldn't hold my breath on whether or not this actually is going to happen. They have to go out and get someone else. It's crystal clear. You're bringing 90 guys into camp. You have to find a veteran pass rusher. You do. And that's their number one responsibility right now, okay? And I think even ahead of wide receiver. you just hope that obviously these guys all stay healthy, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if they brought in another wide receiver. But right, as far as I'm concerned, defensive end is ahead of that at this particular time. All right, let's get ready for our second hour. Let's do that. 641-1010, getting an absolute, just a ton of them that are rolling in on the text line, which is brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. Again, you can also get us on Twitter. That is Blue1010XL. Hour number two coming up on the other side.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars signed 13 unrestricted rookie free agents a little bit earlier today. I may go through that a little bit later on in the program. I also may not. I'm going to be honest with you. Mel Kiper had the Jaguars at a B-. We went over some draft grades yesterday. I didn't mention Mel. B- for Mel Kiper. He liked what Balky did in the first round by moving down six spots, still getting his guy, the wide receiver, as we know, getting Brian Thomas Jr. He does allude to the fact that he could have gotten one of the three DBs, however, Cooper DeJean, Terrion Arnold, and Quinyon Mitchell. Of course, they went wide receiver. What Kiper does say, which I find interesting, and Adam Kaplan just absolutely agreed with it, Mason Smith, getting him with a 48th overall pick, was too high for a lot of people, including Kaplan, and that also applies here to Mel Kiper Jr. He goes on to say that Balky's next four picks were all at least a round earlier than where he had them in his rankings. Mason Smith, 48. Jarian Jones, 96. Javon Foster, 114. And Jordan Jefferson, 116. For what it's worth, Kiper said all four of those picks were a round higher than where he had them in his particular ranking. So, you know, we won't know. We won't know for quite some time, but there you have it. Mel Kiper gave him a B- for the draft. 7429 says, I read that it was post June 1st for Zay Jones. So this allowed him to find a new home. I guess it's out of respect. I have not seen anything post June 1st. And this also includes overthecap.com, which I think is very good. They gave it to us as is. The cap figure, dead cap money, $6.569 million, $6,569,000 is what I wanted to say with, you know, saving $4.183 million, nearly 4.2. So if anyone else has that, please send it to us, 641-1010. Brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. I just haven't seen that anywhere. I know that they are allowed that possibility, but I haven't seen it. 4704, Blue, does Calais have enough left in the tank to be a rotational player to sign here for a year if the money is right? Yeah, I would think so. Mm-hmm. You know, 20, 25 plays a game, sure. Again, I think he's an inside guy, not an outside guy, right? And we keep talking about edge, and I even asked the question. I guess I think I posed it as the edge to Kaplan, where in reality, what Calais Campbell is he's an every down football player. He's going to play on the edge on first down and second down, running downs. And then, of course, he really made incredible, showed incredible versatility by his ability to move inside. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I remember exactly what he did last year in Atlanta. That'd be a lie. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm not going to lie and say Ryan Nielsen did the same thing with him last year. He had him on the edge and then all the time moved him inside. I don't remember. I don't know if I watched Atlanta play a whole bunch of football outside of the Jacksonville game. I just honestly do not remember how he was used. But it could be a situation where they go truly after a guy who only comes off the edge. 0882 says, Boo, do you think they would go out and get an edge? Zach's cut is not for Trevor's contract. They got him enough money to get the edge, whether you did anything with Zach or not. This organization right now, I think they have the third most cap money out of 32 teams. Again, this is the figures from overthecap.com. Presently, and this includes the release of Zay Jones. It also includes the release today of Joey Sly, okay? If you forget, the Jaguars did go out and draft a kicker in the sixth round. And Cam Little out of Arkansas, they also still have Riley Patterson on their 90-man roster. Current figures, $34,231,000. That's where they are under the cap. They have money to do whatever they want, including pay Trevor. Okay? It's going to cost you $8, $9 million for the rookies. So that'll take you down to 20, you know, that'll take you down to 20, you know, 26, 20, somewhere in that neighborhood, right? But you can basically, you can, man. You can, I mean, if this Jarvis Landry, and who really believes that that's going to happen at the age of 31? I don't know. What's he going to command? What's that going to cost? To bring him in, I still think they need another wide receiver. I do. You know, it makes you wonder a little bit today. We saw Zay coming. Okay, there's nothing that drives me crazier than people act like they're not surprised. Oh, you know, I never saw, you know, I knew that was going to happen. Yeah. I mean, it's okay to say you didn't know that something was going to happen. Right? It's fine. It's called being honest. We've all talked about Zay. That was an honest situation. I thought it would be post June 1st, but it wasn't. Who else is in danger of losing their job right now, currently on this roster? It's pretty fast. I mean, it's a solid roster. It's deep in some positions, but there's others where you're kind of like, okay, could they get better still with players who are out there? Possible June 1st cuts that are coming from the other 31 teams. Could you still put together some sort of a trade? You know, all of a sudden it feels like this whole Walker Little situation, where's that now? After they went out and got Javon Foster the other day, right? Where does he come into play? Final year of his contract, former second round player. That's one that, you know, I look at and I'm kind of like, all right, possibly. We'll see. Chad Muma. Again, you're talking about former, you know, you're talking about former second and third round picks who haven't done anything. So their stock, I don't think, is going to be over the top, if you will. I don't think other organizations are like pounding down the door saying, yeah, we got to have Chad Muma. And you're not going to be able to get anything in return. I mean, what are you going to get for these type of players? You get more for Little because he has starts, but he's also been injured. But those are the two I got to look at. You know, I think there'd be a possibility of maybe one of these younger defensive backs not being around for the long haul, whether it's Buster Brown, whether it's, you know, Eric Hallett, whether it is, I don't know, one of those players. But the point I'm trying to make, it feels like things are pretty much set, right? Outside of what we covered, outside of what we're talking about as far as one end and one wide receiver. You know, they feel pretty comfortable about their depth on that offensive line. Whether it includes Walker Little, it doesn't include Walker Little. All right, you brought back Tyler Shatley. You have Luke Fortner. Luke Fortner's got a ton of starts. He's a backup. You just drafted Foster. Best case scenarios, you don't have to play him right out of the gate. You know, Brian Thomas is your day one starter. Jarian Jones may be your day one nickel starter. Okay? Mason Smith is going to be absolutely involved in the rotation. Your first, second, and third round picks are either starters or massively involved in the rotation. Javon Foster's a guy you don't even want to see play this year. I mean, let him learn the trade. And you can hang your hat on that starting five. But all of a sudden, there's a little bit of depth there with that offensive line. You know, we're always talking about Cooper Hodges. He's another guy. There's going to be some good players cut. Not good players, but guys who have done some things in this league. Cole Van Lannen, Chandler Brewer, Blake Hantz. You know, players like that who do have a little bit of experience. Fascinating, man. Love it. Here we are already looking at what this organization is going to do and what they are not going to do. Mac Jones, his fifth-year option not picked up. I think it was D-Rock who had that. No surprise. They're not going to pay him $25 million, which they are going to pay Trevor Lawrence. As you know, they picked up those two over the weekend. The deadline is May 2nd, so that's what? Tomorrow's May 1st. That'd be Thursday. Trevor's fifth year is $25.7 million. Travis Etienne's fifth year is $6.1 million. It's the right move to pick both of them up. 3734 says, Kaplan hit it on the head with the way that Trent drafts. And he definitely has one way to do it. Look at the grades going into the draft, and our draft would have looked like, is it better? So would you feel better if these names and addresses need, yada, yada, yeah. Cliche. Yeah, you know, oh, he listed who they should have drafted before that. Alternate picks right after. Yeah, this is pretty lengthy. I'd really have to study this. I would. I hate to blow you off on it. But, you know, you got Christian Jones in. You got Johnny Wilson in. You got T.J. Tampa. And I heard time and time again that they were big fans of T.J. Tampa out of Iowa State. He fell. He was there. He was there for the taking. And they elected not to go in that direction. Here's more on Zay. I don't want to get into that. How much is that relief for next year? Well, next year it's off the books. Next year it's zip. Let's see if there's any dead cap money at all that is carried over for the 2025 season. Let me do that for you. Nothing. I've got not anything at all at this particular time. But you got that going for you. Again, unofficially, according to overthecap.com, right now you're sitting at just over $24.5 million dead cap money, primarily coming from Big Foley, Rayshon, and Zay. Those three together are carrying $23 million of it. It's nuts. But you know, hey, listen, those are all, what do they all have in common? They were all free agents. You knew this day was going to come. He is very, very good. Tim Walsh, who's been there forever, Notre Dame guy, big fan of Walshy, and Trent Baalke. Baalke does a really good job with these contracts. I don't think he gets enough credit for it. He's really good because when you see the money, it freaks you out. But then if you really go inside the numbers and you see the guaranteed money and you see how, for the most part, after year two, you are gone in most of these situations unless you restructure, he's done a nice job. I mean, he and you know, if you were to just grade it, for me, Foley, Fatic, you know what? Big Foley to me is a D. He was hurt, but he was a D. Rayshon, he made plays at times. He was infectious on that defense. There were other times he was just a guy. I give him a C. Zay, very good first year. I mean, almost an A, maybe a B+, A- first year, right? Second year, missed 8 games, domestic situation, which has been dropped. It's got to be what? An F, a D, maybe combined. All right, combined grades. I give Big Foley a D. I give Rayshon a C. I give Zay Jones a C. He also caught Darius Williams. Why? Because he brought back $11 million, only had to eat $500,000. I give Darius Williams, last year I give him an A. But I think overall I give him a B. Those would be my four grades for those four free agents that Trent Baalke spent a lot of money on. So, got to give him his due. I think there are times where people just want to get on Trent and not look at things realistically, Toronto's up 1-0 in Boston. My goodness. My goodness. Boston had a 3-1 lead last year against the Florida Panthers, and the Panthers were able to win three straight. Tonight, it's
all...
Are you
getting PTSD?
No, not okay, yet.
So you think they'll pull through?
I don't know.
Where's the game tonight?
It's in Boston.
Ooh.
But remember last year, they lost game 2-5-7 at home.
After having the greatest regular season record in the history of hockey.
No question. No question.
Where'd they finish this year?
They were really good. They were 47-20.
They weren't number one, though.
No.
Okay.
I think they were number two behind the Rangers.
So this would be the Rangers' first cup since Messier, right?
Yes.
Like 90, what is that, four?
Quite some time. And they're one of two teams who's already advanced into the remaining eight. So this is what's going on tonight. They're playing in Boston. This game's already underway. Toronto in Boston. The Bruins up 3-1 over the Maple Leafs. Coming up in about 15 minutes, game five tonight in Raleigh. The Hurricanes up 3-1. Over the New York Islanders. So Carolina can close tonight. Late night, it is Winnipeg playing host to Colorado. The visiting Avalanche up 3-1. They can pull out that series with a road victory this evening. And also Vancouver, the Canucks up 3-1 over the Predators. That'll be in Vancouver. That's late night at 10 o'clock. And the Canucks with an opportunity to advance as well. So all four teams, if they win tonight, can move on to the second round of the National Hockey League playoffs. Hey, before we get to our next break, LeBron's out. The Lakers are out. Where's he going next year?
You know, I think he's going to come back. But, you know, word on the street is they're reporting he is going to opt out, become a real free agent for the first time in a while, probably like 6 years. And I don't know. I think that he'll come back, but this thing with his son, where he wants to play with his son, is weird because he's not even good enough to be drafted. He's averaged like 5 points a game in college. But if you're an NBA team, you would use a second-round pick to bring him in just on the off chance that it brings LeBron to your team. So I could see him any. I could see him like joining forces with Steph, you know, or KD, and, you know, the old guys have one last run at things. I could see him going to Dallas. I could see him joining Denver and just going to chase one more ring, which that would be sick. But I like his odds of just going back to the Lakers. I thought they had a good team. I still think, watching all the games in the series, to me, they're the second-best team in the NBA. It's just they got unlucky and had to play Denver in the first round.
So you think, I saw that tweet, you think they're better than Boston?
I do. I think right now if they played the experience of LeBron and AD with all those Boston, whenever a game gets tight at the end, man, there's, the offense is bad. Like, they're just solo ball, jacking up shots, iso ball. It's not great. I think Mazzulla's a terrible coach, even though Darvin Ham is as well. And I think it would be, they'd have trouble with AD down low. And now that Kristaps is hurt, I mean, I thought that even before Kristaps was hurt, but, man, I think the Lakers could have beaten Boston, but I don't see anybody beating Denver, man. They're a powerhouse.
Yeah, Denver is a powerhouse, and, you know, that's maybe the one knock on Tatum. It feels like he doesn't have that killer instinct late in the fourth quarter that he wants the basketball and he wants to take the shot.
And it looks like Denver has two of those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Murray could go, like, 1 of 8 the entire first half, and then all of a sudden the fourth quarter starts, and this guy is, like, possessed. He's like Michael Jordan. And Jokic, when he gets tired, it's easy to just, hey, you know, take this. And he made two game-winning shots in this series.
We were talking about LeBron, and you mentioned KD and Steph Curry. This is the first time since 2005 that LeBron, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry have not made it. One of them has not made it to the second round of the playoffs.
20 years, man. End of an era.
Really is. Feels so, that way, right? We just kind of went through the end of a major quarterback era in the NFL. We talked about the Mike Trout injury.
Yeah.
A little bit earlier tonight in Major League Baseball. I mean, the best overall player in the game. Just going back a couple of years ago, can't stay healthy. And now these three phenomenal players already, for KD and Steph, it didn't even matter for LeBron knocked out last night. Hey, also in the NBA, the Knicks tonight, they'll try to close out the 76ers. That's just underway.
Now, did you hear the Sixers crowds have been, like, taken over by Knicks fans? Are you shocked by that? To where the point where, like, Embiid had to come out after the game and was like, this is a disgrace type thing, that in Philly, half the crowd is New York Knicks fans. Out of all the sports cities, I did not expect that to happen.
I will say this. It's very disappointing to hear this, because all the talk of the great Celtics-Lakers rivalry of the 80s, people forget about the 76ers-Celtics rivalry in the 80s to get to the finals. Talking Bobby Jones, Caldwell Jones, Mo Cheeks, Lionel Hollins, Andrew Toney, Moses Malone,
Barkley.
Of course, Dr. J. Yeah, and Dr. J, you know, Barkley, and then came on a little bit later on. But I'm talking late 70s and in the early 80s. Philadelphia, man. That is a proud fan base. They're about as bad as you'll find. But, boy, allowing those New Yorkers to just cruise up the
shows how long it's been for New
highway.
Yorkers.
Yeah.
So they how long is that drive?
I think
a couple hours.
South side of Philly. North side of Philly. I honestly don't know.
I'm seeing, an hour and 30 minutes.
Okay.
Not terrible.
So the Knicks can close out Philadelphia tonight. 19-17 Philly over New York. 2 minutes to go first quarter. Also tonight, the Magic and the Cavaliers tied.
We'll have it on our airwaves.
At two apiece. That is coming up on the AM side next hour. And late night, Indiana and Milwaukee. Indiana up 3-1 in the best of 7 there. All right, we got much more to get into. If you want to jump on in, you can. The best way to do it is on our text line. That number for you is 641-1010. Also, you can get me on Twitter at Baloo1010XL.
Into the Night with Rick Baloo on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Sir, that commercial for Welcome to Rockville, kind of really wish it was back here in Jacksonville. I guess I haven't been over to Daytona yet for it, and I don't know if I will go over to Daytona for it, but someday, right? They're going to build it, and people will come. I noticed that in Detroit, 700,000 fans for the NFL draft. $160 million generated for the economy in downtown Detroit. We have got a tie game right now in Boston. My goodness, Boston won, Toronto won, two of the original six. Doesn't get much better than that. So it's going to be interesting tonight, no doubt about it. The for those who don't know, and my guess is many of you, Toronto has not won a Stanley Cup since 1967. And believe me, when you talk about passion around here with the Jaguars, you talk about passion down here with college football, those folks in Toronto, they live and die by their Maple Leafs. They watch the Blue Jays have some success, right? They won a couple of World Series. But it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing compared to hockey. That's one of the few places in the country where is hockey number one? Toronto, Montreal, anywhere in the States?
I'm sure like Minnesota maybe, or
Detroit in hockey town may tell you that they're number one, but you have great hockey towns in St. Louis. You have a great hockey town in Boston. That's probably it. You know, I'd like to say Chicago, but the Blackhawks, nah. Even though they had that success and they ran a little bit right when I left and came back here, that they're probably battle the White Sox for fourth or fifth in that town. That's a Bears town.
I mean, we haven't even had a Canadian team in general.
I know.
Win the Stanley Cup since the very early 90s.
Right.
Which is insane.
It really is. It totally is.
Like, it's not like the players are, you know, regional. It's like a professional sport, just like the NFL, the NBA. These guys are from everywhere. That, you know, it doesn't matter where the team is from. Mm-hmm. It's a franchise. It's an anomaly, man. It's crazy that we haven't had a team from Canada win. We're going on 40 years or 30. Yeah, close to 40 years, 35 years.
And everyone wants to play in the National Hockey League. That's why they come from all of these, you know, other countries. It's almost like the international scouting in baseball and what we saw and continue to see in the NBA. I mean, Sweden, Finland, Russia.
The Czechs.
Just all over the place. You know, there was a time, you know, going way back when, where it was Canada and like a little bit of a sprinkling of the United States mm-hmm. of America. Right? I mean, it was pretty, you know, and then it got more and more and more. But, yeah, go back and look at what hockey was like. Look at the greatest players going way back, even through the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, man. They're all from Canada, right? The Espositos, Orr, Bobby Hull, Gordie Howe, Rocket Richard, Vion Cornway, Peter Mahabal. You just name any great player, the French Connection line in Buffalo. You know, the big, you know, the Broad Street Bullies. I don't know if the Hammer, Dave Schultz, if he was Canadian, if he was from the States. But, yeah, I mean, it's changing right in front of our eyes. And we get, you know, we have more of a finesse style now. 52-65 Blue. Hey, do you think the Jags make another veteran free agency move or the squad is set? Not sure if they – no, I don't think the roster is set. I think that – In my eyes, I'd add another offensive lineman. I don't think they are. I think they're convinced that they have their guys. But in there's three positions where you can add players. Okay, you need another wide receiver, and they're going to work out Landry in 12 days, right? So we'll see if he's the guy. Which I'd be surprised if he is at the age of 31. But who knows? They're going to add a wide receiver. You have to add a defensive end. You have to. You can't make the same mistake twice. They didn't do it last year. Stubborn last year. I mean, this is no way that this organization can believe that Trevis Gibson, Yasir Abdullah, and Miles Cole, who they just got in the seventh round, is going to give, either one of them is going to give them significant burn as a backup rush end. Unless they're convinced that it's going to happen. I don't see it. You know, could they bring back a DeJuan Smoot? Maybe. You know, but why not go bring back Yannick Ngakoue? Why not see how healthy Bud Dupree? There's guys that are out there, but every day that goes by, that list is going to be less and less and less. Trade, I don't know. The only pawn that they have, to me, would be Walker Little. And that's all based on what is he going to be in a different system. Because I say it nightly, boy, did they ever screw up him around here. That was just really, really bad. And you guys get screenshots, yada, yada, yada. I guess we do. Yeah, we get screenshots, all this stuff coming in. Yeah, this is it. You sent me the Zay stuff. Yeah, that's exactly what I have been reporting. So I do appreciate that, 7429. Guy here wants you to sing Jailhouse Rock. What's going on? Rick, my brother had a Dodge Dart, Super B, Bumblebee, and Cigna on back. I was talking about earlier in the program. Dodge Dart.
I think he's using a callback from the Franchi show. They found out I was related to Elvis today.
What's your relationship there?
He's like, my mom's maiden name is Presley, and she was in high school. She did a family tree, and he's like a crazy long-distant relative, cousin of mine, but I'll take it.
I heard him the other day on the beach sing Always On My Mind, the Willie Nelson song. I was never aware of the fact that Elvis Presley covered that song.
A lot of covers from Elvis.
You Were Always On My Mind. I mean, it was great. I was out the beach and I was listening to La La Land. I was kind of drifting away.
Have you seen the movie, the new one, about Elvis? It's like a biopic.
No.
Okay. I was like, didn't really care about Elvis at all. I still don't. But good ass movie, dude. And he lived a crazy sad life at the end. Like, the guy who played his, or apparently his manager, I don't know if I would say stole all his money, but he obtained a lot of Elvis's money. And Elvis died pretty broke and, like, fat and on drugs. And, yeah, it was a sad way for the king to go out.
He died on the throne, reportedly.
Yeah, he died on the toilet. Because, you know, his drug addiction wasn't allowing him to, you know, use the restroom as freely as us non-drug users.
Oh, okay.
So I think there was a lot of straining going on, which helped with a heart attack. It happens to a lot of people, by the way.
Happened to the guy in Sopranos. I don't remember who it was.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was one of Tony's soldiers. All of a sudden, he's like, where is he? And all of a sudden, they walked in, and he was gone.
Gigi Sestone died on the toilet, likely due to stress caused by the new leadership role.
Yeah. 53-51 in Ngakoue was toxic. Absolutely.
Yes.
But so wasn't that entire defense. Or not the entire, but most of that defense. I'm not against bringing in a guy who's off the wall a little bit. You hope he's matured, right? Teams haven't been knocking down the door to sign him. Here we are headed towards May 1st. He's a well-traveled guy.
Six teams in six seasons.
There you go. So if Jacksonville comes calling and say, hey, listen, here's $6 million or $7 million, can you sit the quarterback for a year? I don't think you have to worry about him in the locker room. And I understand that I was there. I saw it with Dante Fowler. I saw it with Marcellus. Who am I thinking? Darius.
Marcel Darius.
Yeah, I saw that. More importantly, and I still will respect the gig, because when I was a sideline reporter for all of those years, I was told I can report on what I see. I cannot report on what I hear. But I heard a ton. In Yannick Ngakoue, it was really disappointing, his lack of authority to form a defensive line coach, Elisha Hood. It was really bad. But I understand they were in the moment. They were in the heat of battle. And the whole Tony Khan thing, I just don't believe it. I just do not believe it. Tony Khan has dealt with this in soccer. He's doing it in wrestling, and he's doing it in the NFL, because they had a social media spat. I think that is repaired. This stuff happens in athletics, and it always has happened in athletics. So I'm all for it. I am all for signing Yannick Ngakoue. Why wouldn't you bring in a pass rusher? You know what he's going to give you? You know exactly. Are you trying to tell me right now that if you can have some sort of combination of Josh Allen and Unique on one side, you slide Walker in with Eric Armstead, and we'll see what happens with Mason Smith. All of a sudden, you've got bodies. You've got an opportunity to do some things. You have to prepare for the worst. What if one of those guys goes down? What the hell are you going to do? Ask Roy Robertson-Harris to get to the quarterback? Ask Adam Gotsis to get to the quarterback? Ask one of these Yasir Abdullah or the newly acquired seventh-round pick? I don't even know the guy's name. Miles Cole?
He's a freak athlete, apparently.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Very long.
You got the money. This is a winning organization. He didn't walk in here like he owns the organization. He owns the room. He's got a role in it, and his role is to get to the quarterback. To me, it's a no-brainer. All right, final thoughts coming up. Take you to 8. Hacker Nation will join you at 8 o'clock. I'm off next week on a little bit of vacay. Going to play some golf. Going to see some beach. How cool is that? I may just stay here. Now, I'm going to be around a little bit, and I got to take some summertime off because I don't take time off during Jaguars football. I know that the tail end of the vacay will be that Sunday down at the bank, or excuse me, down at the Miller Electric Center. That's day one of rookie minicamp. Then it'll be Monday, day two. So I'll be back for that. And hey, that should be pretty cool.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I haven't really gotten into the transfer portal at all. It was not as spirited as I thought it would be. Remember, you can still transfer if you graduate. So there's going to be another flow coming up here whenever college wraps up for them, May or whatever that case may be. But you know, I noticed Florida State only lost one player. Signed with South Carolina today, Jacobs, the four-star wide receiver. So maybe do a little bit on that tomorrow among some other things we have planned. Obviously, John Osher will join us much more on the Jaguars. But this whole Deion thing is starting to really get eerie. And who would ever thought we'd be in a period where, you know, a kid leaves and he makes a comment about, you know, Deion and saying how he disrupts the entire team and change everything around. And then all of a sudden his son, Deion's son, who's going to be a star, it could be the top player selected in next year's draft, comes out, and this is exactly what he said. Ion, is I-O-N? How do I say that? Ion?
Yeah, it's like I don't, I guess.
Okay. Ion even remember him, to be honest, TBH. Bro had to be very mid at best. I mean, it's like, you know.
It's a lot of shade in one tweet. He was talking about a safety, I guess. Xavier, how? I don't even know. But
where are we? Where LeBron, I mean, it used to be you hired Danny Manning's dad to get Danny Manning to go to Kansas. Now it's
make the dad.
LeBron's going to go to a team, but the deal is, okay, I'll go to you, but you got to draft my son. And number two, you know, Deion gets ripped by some guy who's long there, and his son, I mean, wow. If you were in a coma for like 10 years, or 20, you wake up saying, well, is this really what happens nowadays in sports? Yes, it is. Completely changes. Thank you to Adam Kaplan, NFL Sirius Radio. Appreciate him. Hackers up next for JJ LaSelva. My name is Rick Bully. We'll talk to you Wednesday at 6 o'clock.